Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the thing that's been annoying. You know that this, as soon as I say it, you're going to say, that makes perfect sense. That's on brand for you.
Mm-hmm.
What is one of my biggest issues, annoyances, aggravations, frustrations with society, like in life at this point?
Nobody's courteous to each other.
Okay.
Nobody cares about other people.
You're there.
Am I sniffing around the right thing? Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
What I'm looking for is we suffer fools.
Ah, yeah.
In a way that we never used to.
Mm-hmm.
We do way too much suffering of fools. That in and of itself, to me, is bad. When we take fools and we make them like heroes, that's even worse. Okay?
Yep. With you so far.
The Sons in Four guy. You know the Sons in Four guy?
Yeah, the dude that got in a fist fight and put up and yelled Sons in Four.
So for people that don't know, Suns are playing a playoff series against... Who the heck did they beat?
Nuggets?
The Denver Nuggets, yeah. Right. And they're in Denver, and these two dudes are screaming at and talking trash to and about to fight this Suns fan. And this video goes viral. Now, fist fight videos going viral in and of itself is dumb and speaks to us being dumb societally, in my opinion, that we're like, whoa, watch this guy punch another guy in the face and bleed. That's mm-hmm. cool.
You know how I feel about that, yeah.
Not that cool, actually. Shouldn't be doing that, please. We're adults. Are we in its seventh grade? We're all gathering around the recess, playground now and going, fight, fight, fight. So anyway, this guy fights these two guys and he's like uppercutting this one dude. And he's like hockey fighting him, grabbing him by the jersey and he beats him up. Cool, I guess. So he wins the fight. And this guy's got like a broken nose. His nose is bleeding and he's like ready to walk out. And the Suns fan goes, Suns in four. And he like puts his fingers up. Suns in four. And it's hard to even say it without laughing.
Yes. Yeah.
What's funny about it is he just beat this guy up who's a fan of the other
team.
And
he's holding him down.
Right. And he's yelling Suns in four like, we're going to sweep you. Okay, whatever. This goes viral. I need fights to stop going viral, but so be it. He's been all over TV and radio. Like, people are doing interviews with this guy, Suns in four guy. Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns tracked him down and is giving him tickets to the series, like the whole series coming up. For what exactly? Like, what has this guy done for this 15 minutes of fame? Got into a fist fight at a game. Punched someone in the face repeatedly. Made them bleed and arguably, like, broke their nose. Now, you could say, like, he was the victim. They tried to fight him and he won the fight. Cool, I still don't care. I need fewer people to get into fist fights at games with families and children nearby. I need fewer people to act like jackasses in public. And the best way to do that is that when it happens, let's not make this guy a celebrity and a hero where NBA players are buying him tickets and he's going on national TV and radio shows so he can be celebrated as Suns in Four guy. So annoying to me. There are other examples of this.
Countless.
Where I can tell you we've lost, it's over, you can come take us now, aliens. But this crap, like, this is it for, I see that and I go, nothing matters. Honest to God, nothing matters. You just try to raise kids in this world and you just pray that something swings, the pendulum swings back at some point. And the guy that's
oh, that genie's out of the bottle.
In the viral video at the stadium isn't the hero of the day in 20 years. We suck. We suck. And that's all I got.
You're not gonna, no disagreement here. No disagreement here. But keep in mind, we have made famous a family whose father defended O.J. Simpson and the eldest daughter made a sex tape. They're our royalty. They're our version of like the British royal family. That's ours. They still got shows. The daughter, like, one of them does like the occasional, like, I'm so like busy and tired. And is like a billionaire.
She's a billionaire.
Has billions.
A billionaire, yeah. With a B. A billionaire.
And like the pants that I'm wearing, like, I really like them. They're cool. Billions. So you're right. Nothing matters. You're 100% correct about that.
What matters? Nothing. That's the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But again, let's buy this guy tickets and fanfare and make sure he's at the game because he beat that guy up that time.
Yeah, who's the little teenage girl that went on Dr. Phil? Like, well, I don't know what you're saying to me.
Oh,
what is that?
I hated that.
But she's like a recording artist.
Cash Me Outside girl or whatever. And yeah. Thom always played the clip. And every time I got annoyed because we're now the show that plays the clip of the girl. And it's the last thing I want to do.
Some like 88-pound suburban chick is now like a hip-hop artist. I mean, you're right. Nothing matters. Oh, if you don't have shame, you can go so far. Enjoy it. Ride it. If you're born shameless or somehow you've developed the loss of the shame gene that really used to be about fight or flight and just keeping yourself alive or from public embarrassment or catching a beating, there's no shame anymore. If you don't have any, go forth. Be famous. Make your billions. That's my advice.
Let's get the Sons and Four guy on the show because he beat that guy up. Let's make sure we give him tickets. Cool. Don't give tickets to, like, the teacher who's working summer school and making an impact in the inner city.
Did their job.
You know, God forbid you try to give tickets to someone who's doing some good in the world. Let's make sure we take care of the guy who fought the guy and made him bleed.
Is Sons and Four guy available for tickets?
Jesus, we suck. And nothing matters. Blue Shorts was right all along. If I ever disagreed with you, Shorts, on that, anybody else, you were right.
We're like, no, stuff matters. Right, guys?
Yeah, just work real hard, you see? And
you'll get ahead one day. Your ship will come in.
Your ship will come in is a 10. Yeah. Just work real hard, you see? And just do everything the right way, and good things will happen to you too, you know?
Inch forward. Keep your nose to the grindstone. Do your best.
If someone ever asks you, hey, what matters most? Just tell them, nothing at all matters. Nothing.
Having no shame, Dad.
But again, if the aliens are watching, all these UFO sightings all over, they're getting closer maybe, or they're like, I don't know what they're doing. Are they hovering? They sitting up there just checking? If they're saying, like, wait a second. They're like, and that means, like, Sons and Four Guy just got tickets. Sons and Four Guy's going on Good Morning America. Just come take us.
Look, Flea Flerm, they've rewarded the Sons and Four Guy with free compensation.
We lost. Just come down. What are we waiting for? We don't deserve this anymore. You guys do. Come have it.
By the way, the aliens are dolphins.
I don't know what the hell they are, but you know what they're not doing?
No, they're not doing that.
They're not starting a scholarship for Sons and Four Guys' kids.
If their ships,
beat someone up.
If their ships can get here, I guarantee you they wouldn't give free tickets to their version of Sons and Four Guy to come take over our planet.
Go take that money. Whatever money you donated to Sons and Four Guy tickets.
Yeah.
Go find a GoFundMe where someone's house burnt down.
Yeah.
Where someone's sleeping on the street. Where someone needs a hospital bills paid for. They're out there. Idiots. We're idiots. Oh my God, there's an action figure.
There's a Sons and Four Guy action figure. I bet he's holding up four.
There is a Sons and Four Guy action figure.
How do you know?
Because I just got sent the action figure picture. It's right here.
No, that's real?
It's got to be fake. How could you have made it already?
There's no way that's real.
He's got an action figure. Hero.
And they say that a hero saves. Get out of here. Sons and Four Guy has an action figure. He's up there with He-Man, the Transformers, Sons and Four guy.
We've lost.
Yeah, it's over. Condolences.
If you, you know, existed in the last year, you probably already knew it was curtains. If you just kind of been around for a little while, nothing matters. You can have the most powerful jobs on the planet with, well, nothing matters.
Tweet me at Funny Danny if that action figure's real. Mark, I see your tweet. I need to know if that's real.
Two people have tweeted me that.
Like, that's a retail item.
Two people.
It's not just some guy who made it. It's not a Photoshop.
Doesn't look like it.
Like, who's the dude? Look, you see the dude, the old
Someone's
dude
holding
in the picture? Above Sons and Four guys?
That's the guy in the stands behind him who's going, why did that guy...
Oh, is it real?
Just beat him up. Like, Sons and Four guy could beat you up, Grant. Cool! I'm not seven! I don't care about that! Sons and Four guy should fight you in a celebrity boxing match before a Jake Paul fight. Jake Paul shouldn't be fighting anyone! He has no talent! Why are you watching it?
He's got abs.
Take us! It's over! Nothing matters.
If you have abs and no shame, you could do whatever you want. Look at Sons and Four guy.
Who's fighting who this weekend? That's never boxed before. That 10 million people will watch. How much money are we going to give Floyd Mayweather this week? Because he's a good person. It's over. Whatever. Let's do the 5 at 5. It doesn't matter either, but we'll do it anyway. You can.
Oh, man. Ooh.
I do have to say one thing does matter, and it's wave soda.
There we go.
It's a tough transition.
It's delicious.
Super simple bubbly water.
I really
splash
like it.
Of real juice. Little caffeine. Unsweetened, no stevia or artificial sweeteners, just a clean finish. 2 to 6 grams of sugar, 15 to 25 calories per can. You can order at wavesoda.com. Get 15% off by entering promo code Danny or Grant, either one. I'd go with Danny. Number one, Joe Theismann called into our show. That was cool. Just called in. We didn't book him. He was listening. He was in traffic. His pals were on the radio. So he called in to talk about the defensive line, but we ended up asking him about quarterbacks. What's he think about Taylor Heinicke? Does he have a feel for what Heinicke is?
We don't know. I mean, for me to say yes would be a lack of information to make a judgment on. To say no would be the same situation. I think we have to see him in training camp. As limited as it might be, we need to see him in preseason games. We need to see him carry over the things that we know about him. He put on 15 pounds. He's bigger. He's stronger, which is going to be great for him from a durability standpoint. But I don't believe that you can make an assessment on just 5 quarters of football. But I really, really liked what I saw with that small sampling.
Right now, this minute, Ryan Fitzpatrick, starter, Washington football team. Heading into training camp, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Heading into preseason, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think the intrigue is going to come when Taylor Heinicke steps on the field against twos, probably like in the middle of the first quarter of the first game of the preseason. Fitzpatrick will get his series hand on the sideline, put on the headset, and listen to all the play calls and everything else. And Taylor Heinicke balls out against backups. I think this train is just beginning to pick up steam. I really do.
By the way, it's real. He's getting his own action figure. ArizonaSports.com.
It's real. So, not Taylor cool. Heinicke, Sons and Four guy.
Yeah, that's cool. A lot of people don't have an action figure. Sons and Four guy does. I like Heinicke. I think he's proven himself to be credible in this offense, and I think he should be competing at training camp. I don't think he will be. I mean, Fitzpatrick's going to be their starter. They paid him money that says he's going to be their starter. Which, by the way, Theismann, let's go to number two in our 5 at 5. Theismann agreed with that. Theismann is very adamant that Fitzpatrick is the starter and it's his job.
Fitz is going to be the starter. I don't think there's any question about that. But Taylor has the opportunity, as well as Kyle, to be able to continue to grow and learn. And, you know, we've talked about this. The position is a process, not a light switch where all of a sudden things work out. And I think Fitz has seen enough so that he has a great wealth of information to share with the guys. You know, these guys are going to be two sponges. They're just going to just soak up as much information as they can from a guy who's seen, I would fairly say, seen everything in this game, not just about, but everything in the game.
This is the key point for me about this competition, whatever you want to call it, among the quarterbacks. They had access to Taylor Heinicke and Kyle Allen at all times. Mm-hmm. This staff, these bosses, everyone else said, that's nice. We're going to get Ryan Fitzpatrick now. There's a reason for all that. Again, the same way that last year when they had access to Dwayne Haskins, Alex Smith, they said, that's nice. We're going to go get Kyle Allen now. What they do tells you more than anything else.
Actions are always going to be what you need to follow, mm-hmm. not the words. And yeah, the action of we can't possibly not go get a quarterback. Remember earlier in the offseason, they seemed even more desperate. They tried to trade for Matthew Stafford. They were kicking the tires on Derek Carr. They were in on every sweepstakes there was. In fact, we found out from John McClain, who covers the Texans, that they were one of the teams, supposedly, that called the Texans about Deshaun Watson before his legal issues. So all of that is to say that at no point did they think, we're okay, we'll just roll with Heinicke and Allen. And that tells you a lot. Number three in our 5 at 5, I am so excited for the Nats and the Mets tonight and in this series. 4 huge games. It starts this evening. It's a Fetty Wap Friday, and he hasn't given up a run in 13 innings.
The 2-2 on the way. Struck him out swinging with a curveball, and Fetty gets strikeout number 7. It's a nice work for Eric Fetty as he shuts down the Giants 1-2-3. He's retired 9 in a row.
He's been good. He's been really good for really since the beginning of May. Looking at batting average against some of the numbers that tell you, he's found himself as a pitcher. They need him, especially with their big two out.
7 games, 7 runs allowed for the Nationals in a stretch in which Strasburg, arguably their best reliever this year, Hudson, and Max, other than 2 batters, didn't contribute at all. Because Corbin had his best start, Ross had his best start, Fetty was really good. That's secondary options. They got to keep that up, man. Number 4 in our 5 at 5. Let's talk some hoops. Giannis, huge last night for the Bucks. Great on both ends of the floor. They beat Brooklyn to force a game 7. We got 2 game 6s tonight.
Giannis picks up Durant on the switch. Nice John Green. Got ripped underneath. Tough night for Jeff Green. Giannis in transition. Through the contact. Count it!
42 in the paint for Milwaukee. 25 in transition.
That was a salient point from Doris Burke last night. 100% correct. That's how they won that basketball game, punishing Brooklyn for not really having a center. It's Blake Griffin masquerading as one. Then they want to get out and space out without James Harden really being himself. He's just a shadow of himself at this point on the court, just kind of picking his spots. That's how Milwaukee's going to have to do this. We think of them as this great three-point shooting team, but having Giannis get into the lane and cause havoc, that's how they did it. Middleton with 38 last night, a great effort for him. I can't wait for that game 7.
Yeah, I mentioned 2 games this evening. They're both game 6s where the home team up 3-2 has a chance to close out. Late tonight, the Clippers and the Jazz in L.A., 10 o'clock tip on ESPN. But the first of the 2 games this evening, 76ers and Hawks, Philly and Atlanta. How about Trae Young putting on a show in this series?
When you talk about an underdog, I mean, for a team that has no all-stars, no all-defensive players, no all-NBA players, this team is fighting. We're in the second round of the playoffs, and I think we've just had that chip on our shoulder all year, just being overlooked and just having that underdog mentality, and we're playing with that chip on our shoulder right now, and guys are continuing to do that. We're going to need them to keep it up.
Philadelphia gets a lead. Don't turn away. They've had a pretty big lead each the last couple of games. The other night, they blew, I believe it was a 22-point lead, just choked it away against Atlanta, who rallied and was just furiously coming back. They got to keep Trae Young out of the lane. Kind of the same thing that's going on in the Milwaukee series. When Young penetrates, it opens up everything for Atlanta. He's making role players good, and he's been killing them. They got to find an answer for that.
Nats Mets in an hour and 40 minutes. Excited for the first pitch of a massive 4-game series. Dave Jagler is going to join us at 6 ahead of Nats pregame, where he and Charlie Slows take over on the Fan at 6:30 tonight. So 40 minutes out. Make sure you listen to Jazz for a preview of the series. But next, let's do this. Yesterday, we had Taylor Heinicke's former college coach on. And we asked him, if he got to play 17 games without injury this season, what kind of numbers would he put up? And the coach, Bobby Wilder, made it seem like he would be outstanding. We're going to ask you guys the same question. If Taylor Heinicke started for a full season, had no injuries to deal with, and just went circuit to circuit for the Washington football team, how would he fare? How would the team fare? 800-636-1067. Try to figure out what we think of Heinicke next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
First of all, I think the team will win. I think there'll be a playoff team, number one. That's the number one thing I think will happen, is I think there'll be a playoff team. I don't know how many games they'll win. I think it depends on that kind of that gauntlet of those four playoff teams early in six games. But there'll be a playoff team. He'll have a completion percentage somewhere 65 to 70. He'll be 2-1 touchdown to interception ratio. And he'll be one of the top, I'm going to say top half of the league. So one of the top 16 quarterbacks statistically in the league would be what I would anticipate would happen if he plays all 17. And if the guys like Sims and McLaren, I mean, those guys are young, Logan Thomas, if they continue to progress, then I think he can do those things.
The extremely bullish Bobby Wilder, talking Taylor Heinicke on the show yesterday, the college coach for Heinicke at Old Dominion. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. Thank you so much for listening. We always appreciate it. Our Richmond audience is with us until 6, 9, 10 a.m., 105.1 FM. The rest of you with us till 6:30 tonight on The Fan, 106.7, and, of course, coast-to-coast all over the country. You can keep us with you wherever you go, the Odyssey app. Daniel, I'm going to repeat what Bobby Wilder just said.
Oh, yeah.
You asked the question, as a matter of fact. I thought it was a good enough question. His answer was interesting enough that we wanted to pose it to listeners today at 800-636-1067 on the Gambit DC listener lines. If Taylor Heinicke started 17 games and played the entire season, what would happen? Team, player, what have you. The reason we bring that up is because there are people that are saying, basically, the bigger issue for him is not how he'd play, it's just staying healthy. So we're saying, okay, let's say he stays healthy. What would happen?
He does.
A lot of us, and I'm in this camp, think he's an NFL backup. A lot of other people think this guy just hasn't been given a chance based on not having been durable, and he could actually be outstanding. Count Bobby Wilder in that camp, his college coach at Old Dominion. Wilder says Washington would make the playoffs. That means, by the way, they'd win double-digit games with 17 games on the schedule.
You'd think?
At least 10-7, probably, or 11-6, something like that.
9-8, worst case if the division falls apart, but yeah.
Well, when has the NFC East ever fallen apart?
You got to go a long way back to almost, what, a year.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Completion percentage, 65 to 70. That's an upper echelon kind of elite total. Interception for every two touchdowns, 2-1 ratio there. That's where you want to be, basically. I mean, There are guys in the league, obviously, that are 3-1, 4-1, the great quarterbacks. But if you throw 20 touchdowns, 10 picks, 24-12, 28-14, that's healthy. That's really
impressive.
It's
doing real well, yeah.
That's good. That's Pro Bowl caliber.
Baker Mayfield last year, for example, 26-8.
That's nice.
That's, you know what I mean? That's kind of that range. Stafford, 26-10. You see the point.
Yep. Top 16 quarterback statistically. I think he's talking yards, rating, what have you. Top 16. Top half the league. Now, again, this is his college coach. This is his hype man. It's a guy we love having on the show. And I always like to say a guy that's been right about him when he's talked to us every single time. We talked to him before the Carolina game. He says if he gets in, he'll move the ball. We talked to him before the Tampa Bay game. He said if he plays, he's going to play one of the better games they've had played at quarterback this year. He's been right twice. So this is the third time we've had him on the show, and this is what he says he would do if he got a full season. I asked Danny Ruye that same question. Heinicke plays for a year. What's it look like?
So compared to the prognostication of his college coach, let's take the average of some of these numbers that he's talking about when he goes 65 to 70%. So here we go. How about 67% completion percentage, over 4,000 yards, probably 27 touchdowns. We'll put him in that right range. 9 to 12 interceptions, quarterback rating in the upper 90s is what his coach is talking about. I have a much lower eye line for Taylor Heinicke and what he would end up doing. I do think there'd be some touchdowns. I also think there'd be double-digit fumbles. I think there would be a really high sack percentage. I think if this sort of, you know, if he's given the keys to the kingdom, some yards and some TDs will end up there, but there'll be enough of those negative things to offset it. So for me, it would probably look like this. 63% completion percentage, around 3,800 yards, even with the extra game. I'll say 23 touchdowns. I'll say 15 interceptions, and I'll say 8 or 9 fumbles. Maybe not necessarily lost because those are 50-50 propositions, but really you'll probably talk about 23 TDs and 20 turnovers. That's how I'd feel.
Yeah, so I think the turnovers would be 1-to-1, too, with fumbles and picks. So I just kind of jotted these numbers down in the same categories he gave us. If Heinicke played 17 games uninterrupted, what would it look like this year? I would say 7-10 for the team record. I would say completion percentage. I could see him going 65 in this offense because they're going to be horizontal a lot. They're going to throw to the running backs. But I'll say like 64%, 63%, so I'll take the under. Touchdowns and interceptions, I'm going to give him 25 touchdowns and 17 picks. I think he had a 3-pick start the only time he started before Washington. I think there would be a lot of interceptions in there, just like there would be, as you said, plenty of touchdowns. Because they got weapons. I mean, they should be able to score some points. And he went top 16. I'm going to go 25 to 30 range in terms of where he would rank statistically. Would you okay with 25 to 30, or are you going lower than that?
25. In between 20 and 25, I would have.
I mean, so then he's a starter on a bad team for you. He's not a backup, really.
I view that slightly differently, but you could absolutely parse it out that way.
That's true. That's kind of parsing it up.
I think it's two sides of the same coin. But I'm not angry at you for saying it that way.
I said 25 to 30, and that means all of a sudden, well, if he's not 32nd, he's a starter, which I think he's a backup, and I think he could be the 26th best quarterback in the league because you got weapons in this offense.
Exactly. So if you gave 30 other guys those weapons, this situation, this defense, they'd put up better numbers, and the team would fare better.
Exactly. All right, let's go to Dave and Bowie.
Hey, Dave.
Dave on Grant and Danny. Heinicke gets 17 games uninterrupted. What's it look like?
Well, you know, the only question I really have about Heinicke is, can he stay healthy? And since you removed that question, I'm curious. I'm trying to understand. You say, you know, he's going to throw a lot of interceptions and so forth. What are you basing that on? You're certainly not basing that on anything that happened in his past.
So yeah, start before he came to Washington, he threw 3 interceptions in that game.
His only start, what are you talking about, in Minnesota?
No, Carolina.
Carolina. You have to look at the players around him as well. His only start was not the only time he played. There was no indication. If you look at his numbers, from the time he was in college when he absolutely tore it up.
Yeah, what he did at Old Dominion doesn't really translate that well for me, to be honest.
Well, you know what? If you look, where did Ben Roethlisberger play?
Miami of Ohio.
They would beat Old Dominion pretty handily.
Yeah, exactly. Taylor Heinicke is just about the exact same height and weight as Drew Brees. So because you're a certain height and you're a certain weight does not therefore mean that you're going to fumble.
No, but my buddy's the same height and weight as Drew Brees, too. He's a server at one of my favorite restaurants. Like, that doesn't make you a good quarterback. Appreciate it. And I'm just playing devil's advocate with you a little bit. But my point is, you say, well, it's not based on anything you've seen. Oh, it totally is, actually. I mean, when he was with the Texans in 17, he couldn't get on the field. In 18 with the Panthers, he did get on the field and play in a game, and he threw 3 picks. And then he didn't play in the league in 19. He was out of the league most of 20. Am I holding against him that he was undrafted? Yes, I'll admit that. Am I holding against him that he hasn't really gotten a chance yet? You bet I am. I mean, teams are desperate for quarterback play. They don't turn their nose up at guys who are going to be really good generally. So it's very hard to find Kurt Warner and these dudes who everyone was wrong about for a bunch of years, who come out of obscurity to be really, really good. So I am cynical. I think it's a healthy cynicism, hopefully. But I'll be the first guy. If his five quarters were awesome. The game he had against the Bucs in the playoffs was amazing. I haven't been that happy and had that much fun and like kid-like watching a football game.
That's the way to put it.
For this team in years. I was taking shots in my basement with my brother-in-law and my wife. And I mean, we were loving it. It was incredible. I don't think it's sustainable. And if I'm wrong, I'll be the first to admit it. I hope I am. It would mean they found a diamond in the rough. Kendall and Brandywine, how are you, sir?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, dude.
Man, first of all, that he did play well in the playoff game. But what's the likelihood? It's rarely, if ever, that a diamond is just floating around on various practice squads that, you know, that have been obscure from everybody in a quarterback desperate league. So I'm not buying it, man. They haven't. He's gonna come back. He's gonna regress to the mean. And the notion that Bobby Wildtalk would think that he's gonna put the type of numbers that's gonna put him as a top 15 quarterback in the league is ridiculous. The fact that we're sitting here, every radio, every sports talk show in town is talking about Heineke, and that just shows you how desperate we are for a quarterback.
Totally.
Desperate.
Part of it is, Kendall, thank you, buddy, and as always, it's a really good call. Part of it, though, is the very little bit we've seen.
Was so fun.
He's played at a level that if he could do that all the time, they found their guy. I think most people, like Kendall and like me, say he can't do that all the time. If he could do that all the time, he wouldn't have been available. If he could do that all the time...
He'd have done it all the time.
He would have already been doing it for somebody. And I just think his point is smart and good when he references how rare those cases are. Now, not everyone cares about that. A lot of people say Warner happened. They need the one example. Or they reference with six-round picks all the time. Tom Brady was a six-round pick. The reason we reference that is because there have been 1,000 six-round picks at that position, and like three turned out to be any good.
Yeah, so was Jabron Hamden. Where's he? You know, there's plenty of those.
Just how do you look at it?
Precisely.
800-636-1067, Gambit DC listener lines. You heard what Bobby Wilder said. It's not just, by the way, the former coach of Taylor Heineke. You'll hear what our buddy Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch, who's a big Heineke guy, covers the team. He's on the beat in the media. What he has to say, he thinks he'd be really, really good over 17 games as well if he could stay healthy. And that's the question for you guys on the phones. If he played without injury for 17 games, what would that look like for the team and for Heineke?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With Danny, I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. We're taking you up to 6:30 on this Friday. Make sure, with Father's Day looming, you got something planned. Hit up the Papa Bear. Do something nice for Dad. 2 days away. I never know like when these things are coming until they do, but my wife told me a few days ago it was Father's Day weekend.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. It could have been now. It could have been in 6 weeks. I wouldn't have known the difference.
We had a game this past weekend for baseball, for my son's baseball team. Rained out, right? It poured so much on Friday night, the field was still wet on Saturday. So I was texting with the other coach, and I was like, you know what we could probably do is next Sunday. And I kind of gave him a couple different times, and he wrote back, Sunday is Father's Day. And I was like, yep, that's probably why it's times are available at the field. Stunned to learn that.
I think I'm worse than you at that, but collectively.
We're about as bad as you get.
Holidays, calendar, schedule stuff. There's no worse show in America at knowing which days were off and which days were on, which holidays matter and which don't. Like, we have to be told the morning of, like, no, you guys aren't in today. Both of us at different times have driven in on days that was a holiday and someone was filling in for us.
Unequivocally has happened. We need whatever Jason Bishop has. Is it a gene? Is it a brain function thing? He's the best at it. He always knows.
He knows what he's doing. Let's go to Brandon in Lanham. You heard what Bobby Wilder, the coach at Old Dominion for Taylor Heinicke, said about what Heinicke would be able to do over 17 games. We want to know what you think. Brandon, you there, buddy?
I got two quick points.
Hey, man.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
All right, okay. So if he beats, Fitzpatrick out, I think that's a good thing. Second thing, the stats that you said, I think you said 25 touchdowns, maybe 17 interceptions, that's 9 more touchdowns than what we accomplished last year with winning the division at 7-9. So to say we're going to get 9 more touchdowns and only end up with 7 or 8 wins, I don't see the math. So if he's given us 25 to 28 touchdowns, because I said 28 and 12 to a buddy of mine not too long ago. If he's given us that
28 and
with
12.
The defense, I said 28 and 12, but you said 25 and 17.
Right.
So
that's a big difference.
Around in the ballpark. Give or take. I have very high expectations for this team. So my thing is that if he's getting 28 and 12 and this defense doesn't give up 35 touchdowns, we could be 11 and 6, 12 and 5, or whatever it is. I see a math way they could do it on the field.
So I love the call. Appreciate you making it. Here's how Grant's way works for them not to be a quote-unquote winning team.
I like that he's kind of crunching the numbers on it.
Well, and I like that too. That's why I'm responding to it. Your defense could still be great. Those 17 picks don't happen in a vacuum. Those 17 picks could put you in a terrible,
that's what
first,
I'm accounting for.
You know, red zone, goal to go, return for a touchdown, bad field position type stuff. When you add in fumbles and sacks and yards lost, you can end up scoring more points, but you could be chasing.
I also have questions, which we've talked about the defense. I think they have a chance to be awesome. They ranked number 2 in the league this past year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's authentic, if that's really what they were. I don't really care about defensive rating as far as yards. I don't think they're going to do that again. I hope they make more plays and get more takeaways and get more sacks without having to blitz. Some of the things I care about is metrics that are important defensively. But there's nothing saying the defense won't take a step back potentially this year. Now, they have more talent. They shouldn't. But if it was just as easy as if you have more talent, you're better, we would know going into every year who's going to be good and who isn't. So that's part of it for me. It's certainly possible, I think, with shorter fields for the opposing offense, with a quarterback maybe putting in some more spots with Fitz or Heinicke, in this case, the Heinicke hypothetical.
Better teams on their schedule, too.
And that's the key. And that's kind of the grand finale of where I'm going. He's referencing last year comparatively to this year and what I'm expecting. Last year, they had an easier schedule, and they got more lucky with breaks than they've ever gotten before. neutral site game against the 49ers, playing the Steelers on 5 days rest, bunch of backup quarterbacks. You're playing the four teams that were playing on Championship Sunday this year and a murderer's row of QBs. So I just don't know if the comparison works. Let's go to Pete in Rockville. Hey, Pete, how are you?
Hey, guys. All right, so this is hypothetically speaking 17 games from Heinicke. If you gave me 17 games from Heinicke last season, we're a 12-win team. We beat the Giants twice. We win that Carolina game. We win the Detroit game. And we beat Seattle. We lost the playoff game, I think, due to our defense because we ran into Tom Brady. But we allowed 31 points. We were the best defensive team in the second half. We allowed all of 10 points average or something crazy like that. Heinicke plays the whole season last year. We win 12 games. This is a different conversation because he's our starter. We don't spend the 10 mil on Fitzpatrick. I love Fitzpatrick. Don't get me wrong. But if we're talking 17 games out of one quarterback, you keep bringing up the three interception game that he had. How many three interception games has Fitzpatrick had?
Plenty.
Oh, a million. I'm not sitting here defending Ryan Fitzpatrick, by the way. I think they should be competing for the job. He just said they'd have won 12 games.
I'm trying to do the math there.
And
I don't see it exactly.
He was worth 5 wins.
You're not beating you. Maybe you beat Cleveland in that game. That's debatable.
Turnovers horrendous. That would have to be one that he's
counting. But the defense couldn't stop anybody.
So what?
Well, runs, whatever. Okay.
One.
Arizona, you got boat raced in week two. No way. You're not beating the Ravens at that point, with or without Heinicke. The Rams annihilated them like nobody's business. You probably win that first Giants game that you lost 2019. Okay, there's one.
If he played like he did against Tampa. We don't know if he's going to play like he did against Tampa. But again, they haven't won that many games since I was 3. And they won the Super Bowl in 91. We're just casually saying if Taylor Heinicke played all year, they would have done something they haven't done in 30 years.
It's a pretty big leap.
That's aggressive. Let's go to Edward in D.C. Edward, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, buddy.
Look, I think this is an opportunity for Heinicke to win the starting job, and I think it's a good thing if he does. We know who Fitzpatrick is at this point in his career, right? We all know that. What can Heinicke potentially do? And think about, look, the NFL is so bizarre, and the reason it's so bizarre to me is because it's so easy to pass now, right? All the rules are in favor of the passing game, yet there's so few guys who can be franchise quarterbacks. Look, I mean, with the defense playing the way it is, I mean, the last time the Washington football team won a Super Bowl, Mark Rippon was the starting quarterback. I don't know that you necessarily need a franchise quarterback to win a Super Bowl with this team and with the defense playing the way it did last year. I think that you have to give this guy a shot and see if it's possible. Might he fail? Yes. But, I mean, there are so few people who can play quarterback at a high level in the NFL, which seems so bizarre given the rules now.
And Edward, he's probably going to get a shot. I hate to cut you off. We're up against it, buddy. Thank you. Fitzpatrick will be the starter, but hasn't stayed healthy. So he's probably going to get his shot. Grant and Danny, let's talk Nats Mets with Dave Jagler next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. Your flagship home for Nationals baseball. Massive series gets underway tonight against the Mets. A four-gamer over 3 days with a doubleheader tomorrow. Nats lined up with pitching. Aren't going to have to use anybody not already in the rotation right now. And that's not the only good news. They're also going to miss Jacob deGrom and Marcus Stroman in this series. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll look ahead to Father's Day. Try to come up with an idea or two for each other as to how we can spend our Sunday. But right now, let's go to the BetQL guest hotline and welcome on a dad of two, Dave Jagler, who joins us. Jags, you don't have to deal with the top two pitchers. The Mets have to offer. Seems fortuitous, yes?
Yeah, no doubt about it, because with the fact that you're trailing the team in the standings, and if you look big picture, I mean, what are the odds of a wild card team coming out of the National League East? Who knows how it's going to play out over the second half of the season, but you know, for this team to get where they want to go, they're going to have to chase down the teams ahead of them in the National League East, and that's a four-game opportunity against the Mets without their top two pitchers throwing in this series. So it's a great opportunity. There are a ton of games left head-to-head against the Mets, and the first of those tonight, and a big four over the weekend. You know, it was a nice series over Pittsburgh, but they can't let happen what happened after they swept the Orioles, which was dropped 5 of 6 to the Reds and the Brewers on a homestand. It's a great opportunity, and it's a good one to take. You have to take advantage of these kind of opportunities if you're going to get back in the division race.
Open-ended question here, Jags, but you know, a few division games coming up here. You mentioned the division race, and we're just about a month out from the trade deadline. These kind of series like this, a big one with the Mets that you mentioned, it's not a nice kind of moment to sort of pull back and take stock and see where we are. Open-ended here, what will we know after this weekend?
Well, we'll know if they win 3 out of 4 that they're right in the thick of it, because you'd slice 2 games off the deficit. And you know, on the flip side, if you lose 3 of 4 or worst case scenario, all 4, then you've got a much steeper hill to climb. So a lot can happen with 80 to 90 games left in the season. So I don't draw conclusions off 4-game series in June. But with that being said, there's been enough of a hole dug here that you've got to take advantage of these opportunities. They took advantage of one against the Pirates, who were a struggling team coming in. That's a great step. Now you've got a contender coming in. And they hung with the contenders they played previously, splitting with the Rays, splitting with the Giants. So at this point, it's almost like trading baskets in the NBA. Yeah, a split is nice, but at some point, you've got to make a comeback when you're trailing, and you can't just trade baskets. You've got to go out there and win a series. And so if they can win a series, they're going to feel real good about their position going forward.
Dave Jagler on the call with Charlie Slows tonight. Pre-game starts bottom of the hour right here on The Fan. Jags, 7 games, 7 runs given up going into tonight. Pretty amazing. And what's more incredible is that's with Max having faced just 2 batters in that stretch. Huddy, their best reliever this year, arguably, on the shelf and not helping at all. And no Steven Strasburg. I mean, what a run this has been for this pitching staff.
Well, that's why you have a little encouraging feeling going into this series, because a couple of guys who are a part of that run are going to get starts, and you hope you can build on what they can build on what you've seen. I'm talking about Fetty and Ross. I mean, you know, Fetty had that really good start in Phoenix and then was shut down, and it's really figuring he could not build on that. Well, then he did. He went out and pitched a great game in his last start and was able to go 5 innings. So, you know, he's got a chance to get the series off right tonight, if he could just keep doing what he's doing. And, you know, Ross had a miserable month of May, but he was as good as he's ever been in that game against the Giants on Sunday. And so he's going to get a start in this series. You know, we all know that for this team to go anywhere, they need Patrick Corbin to be the 2019 version of Corbin and not the 2020 version of Corbin. And we saw the 19 version of Corbin in his game against Pittsburgh. So all those things are positive signs, hoping that you can carry it over. And then the trickle-down effect is we saw some arms, I thought, hanging in the bullpen. But now with the starters going deeper, the bullpen was more effective when they came in, because they're not getting so completely taxed and burned out. So the starters pitching better, to me, trickled down to the bullpen pitching better, and then everyone pitched well.
Dave Jagler with us here on Grant and Danny. Jags, what are you seeing from Juan Soto? I think probably it's a compliment to him that we're kind of scratching our heads when his numbers are fine, but you know, this was an MVP candidate coming in to this season based on what he did, and obviously 2019 as a hero, and then in that shortened 2020 season where he was just so ridiculous. The numbers just haven't been there for him. What are you seeing out of Soto?
Well, I hate to pick it apart because, like you said, I mean, this kid has accomplished so much, and on the you know on the flip of a switch, he could be right back into it. But we thought he was kind of out of the ground ball mode that he had been in for much of the year, and obviously hitting some hard ground balls, but not a ton of extra base hits coming out of that. But on that last road trip, he had really found it when he hit the four home runs. I think three of them were bombs to left center field. He's been back in the ground ball mode on this entire homestand. The one ball that he hit, he got robbed of a home run against the Giants in the first game, but everything else has been ground balls. He's hit into a ton of double plays this year. It's not like he's not hitting the ball hard. For some reason, he's not elevating it, and I thought he was out of it, and now he's kind of been right back into it. So, again, you're just waiting for that one game where it clicks in and he goes on that run, because those are the expectations. He set the bar that high that we can nitpick what has been a good season. It's not been a great season, though, and we've kind of expected a great season. It's been a good season relative to, you know, batting average and on-base percentage, walks, all that. All those numbers are there. But it's just the slugging percentage, the home runs, the impactful hits haven't been there like we're used to seeing. And that's because he set the bar so high that we're left wanting more.
Dave Jagler, Charlie Slows coming your way with Nationals pregame at the bottom of the hour. And you're listening right now to Grant and Danny here on The Fan. We're taking you up to just after 6:30 tonight. Jags, Kyle Schwarber, leadoff batter. This is working. Four home runs and a batting average over 300 this week. What did you think when you saw Davey was going to allow Schwarber to hit leadoff? And what do you make of the results so far?
Well, what I make of the results is don't change it, because it's trickled down to this team winning ball games. Because with him, you know, giving some early offense, this team has played with a lead, and that's allowed them to maybe relax, settle in their pitchers pitching better. Sometimes that, you know, we've seen that with Harper over the years. We've seen it even with Soto trying it once this year. Sometimes it kind of smacks a little bit of, you know, give him a different look, so almost like a desperation move. But it's something that Schwarber did like 55 times in 2019 with the Cubs, and that was his big 30-homer season. So I think it's something he's accustomed to. But to me, it's been the trickle-down for the whole rest of the team that him giving them that power early in the game has allowed everyone just to relax and settle in. So as long as they keep winning with it, I don't see any reason to change it. And I was a little surprised over the weekend that against the Pirates in that middle game that he started Schwarber against the left-handed pitcher. We thought it might only be against righties, but it's worked so well, it's been against everybody.
Jags, latest on the two injured starters at the top of the rotation. Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg played catch yesterday, I saw. Just kind of give us the latest there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Scherzer are much closer to returning than Stras. I mean, Stras is going to have to go through the whole progression of building back up to getting off a mound, to throwing a simulated game, to probably at least one, if not two, rehab assignments. So, I mean, he's still a significant amount of time away. I'm hopeful, you know, seeing Scherzer, you know, kind of get out there every day, you know, working on his legs a little bit, but then, you know, playing catch, keeping his arm in shape, that when he's eligible to return, which is against the Phillies, that might be a possibility. But the key for him will be, when does he make that side session? As soon as he's able to make that side session, that tells you that he's just a couple of days away from making his return to the mound. So hopefully it won't be too long.
Dave, Eric Fetty has pitched to a 3.8 ERA in what has been a terrific season to this point, despite the frustration of him having had to miss a month recently. But he came back and picked up where he left off. I think he's gone 13 straight scoreless innings now. He's on the hill tonight to start this series against the Mets. What is he doing better as he seems to have turned a corner here?
I think, Grant, he looks like a big leaguer on the mound. He looks like he's got a little swagger, which we've never seen that before. He looks like, hey, I belong here. I've got good stuff, and I'm better than you, looking at the hitter. I mean, that's obviously what Scherzer brings to the mound, what Strasburg brings to the mound. I think Fetty has brought that to the mound this year because, honestly, when you look at his stuff and you watch it from the center field camera, it's really good. I mean, he's a guy who can, you know, which is whatever every pitcher wants to do, he can classically divide the plate both ways. He can throw that cutter away from righties, in on lefties, and the changeup and the sinker in the opposite direction. So if you can spot the ball to both sides of the plate and change speeds, that's not a comfortable at-bat for a hitter when you've got to cover that much change in velocity and that entire breadth of the plate. So I think he's finally realized that, hey, my stuff can work here. I'm Eric Fetty, and that's good enough. So when he brings that swagger to the mound, he can be good. I think that's what's been missing, and that's what he's had this year when he's pitched well.
You mentioned change of speeds, Jags. Who changes speeds better than Paolo Espino? His fastball is a big league changeup at this point, but it's awesome to see. It's really fun.
I love it. I mean, there's got to be a place, Danny, for a guy like that in the game. Uh-huh. I mean, I love Davey Martinez comp to Anibal Sanchez because that's what Anibal did. That's why he had such a long big league career. And as a hitter, when you have to cover 20-mile-per-hour difference, I don't care if it's 80 to 100 or if it's 70 to 90, that's still really hard to do for big league hitters. And his 20-mile-per-hour separation is from 70 to 90. And you see guys taking or getting bad swings at 89-mile-per-hour fastballs because his curveball is such a weapon. So, yeah, that stuff can play. And really, for him to throw below the hitting speed, that's better than if he threw 93 or 94, which is kind of like batting practice speed now. He throws below the hitting speed and is doing great. So he leaves you wanting to see more.
Massive series for the Nats starts at 7:05 tonight against the New York Mets. Four games in 3 days, a doubleheader as they make a game up tomorrow from the COVID postponements. They don't have much margin for error based on the slow start, so they got to win this series. Dave and Charlie will be on the call in just a few. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it. And call a few wins, will you?
I'll do what I can. If not, we'll make it up.
Thank you, Jags.
Always enjoy having Dave Jagler on Grant and Danny. What's your prediction for these four games?
I think they go Splitsville. I just kind of kick the can down the road. You kind of limp along and pretend that it's going to turn around or pretend that some magical different performance track is going to happen. And, you know, I don't think it is. I think this is kind of what they are. They can beat up on a few bad teams, make you think it's different, and then they keep progressing. They are a group that is not quite a 500 baseball team, you know, as a full long season sample would progress. You saw through the first month plus, everybody was 500. Now you're starting to see some of the records differentiate. Some of the teams that belong at the top of divisions are, as much as the Mets have struggled, they're almost 10 games over 500. I think 9 now at last count. They're better than the rest of the division right now. That's what the records show. So this is a time the Nationals either need to step on the gas or just slam the brakes and change direction.
Starlin Castro was added to the roster today.
Saw that, yeah.
On the
restricted list.
Restricted. I was going to say reserve. Restricted list over the last couple of days, but he's back now. So that's good, I guess. I mean, he hasn't done a whole lot. They need him to hit the ball over the fence. They need home runs and extra base hits. His OPS is low. He doesn't slug much at all. So that's got to change. That's one guy that could help them a lot by getting going. Second thing is, pitcher for the Mets tonight, Jagler was talking about, Joey Lucchese. Lucchese's been really good of late, has a 1.5 ERA over his last four starts. But the Mets have not at any point let him go through a lineup a third time. In fact, the last time he pitched, he had highs for the season in innings with 5 and pitches with 72. So I bring that up to say, my key tonight is to work counts, grind ABs against him, get into the bullpen in the middle innings. Really good things happen typically when you're facing non-late inning, non-high leverage relievers. You can think about it with your own team, the Nationals. You know, when you're in the pen, the 5th, the 6th inning, the quality of the arm that you're facing is not the same as at the end of the bullpen with a Dan Hudson or a Brad Hand. So if you can get Lucchese out of the game early this evening, 3rd, 4th inning, and get into the bullpen for a handful of frames before they start throwing their gas in the late innings, to me, that's the key for the Nationals.
Well, that's massive. It also would bode well for the rest of the series. You have a Johnny Holstaff day with a doubleheader tomorrow, and then your fourth game of the series Sunday at 1, that would benefit you greatly as you go through it.
My old, not who you play, but when you play the Maxim. I mean, this is a great time, so to speak, to get the Mets, if that's such a thing. They're getting healthier, but as of 5 days from now, their lineup's going to be in much better shape. They got 3 of their top hitters rehabbing in AAA right now. And on top of that, again, you don't get DeGrom, who's banged up, and you don't get Stroman, who's having an all-star season. So you can't ask for a better way to line this up to give you the best chance to try to take 3 out of 4. Now go take advantage. A couple of notes I saw in an Axios newsletter that I get today. First things first, you remember 2011 dunk contest? Blake Griffin jumped over a car.
The Kia,
you're right. There was a story written in The Ringer that came out today about where that car is right now. I just think it's a hilarious idea for a story.
Good job, Ringer.
I read some of it, and it's awesome.
That's great.
That car is still driving an IT bank worker in Tulsa to work every single day.
That's hilarious.
And so I bring that up to ask you, Danny Ruye, if you were driving that silver Kia that Blake Griffin jumped over that one time, How often would you tell people that? And would you be insufferable about it? Or
insufferable.
You think?
Insufferable. Knowing myself, I would work it into every conversation.
Someone rides with you, I'm definitely mentioning it. Like, so, for whatever reason, buddy at work and you were going out to lunch, or someone needs a ride, so you're picking them up and taking them somewhere, I'm going to tell them when they're in the car. I don't think it would come up ever in my normal life out of the car, though. I think that's one of those things when you have one of those group exercises in the office or at college or something where they say,
let's do an icebreaker.
Give us a random fact about yourself. I would say the silver car that I have is a Kia that Blake Griffin once jumped over when it was on the court at the NBA All-Star game.
I would have a graphic of Blake Griffin jumping over my car on the car.
You'd wrap it?
Yeah. You wouldn't be able to pass by that car without seeing Blake Griffin jumping over it and then asking me for the detail. And I would tell you. I'd be so desperate for people to ask me.
I just love the idea that there's just some random person in Tulsa going back and
driving
forth.
A 2011 Kia.
Loves their Kia, and it was the Blake Griffin.
By the way, that was Kia. 10 years ago. That's unbelievable to me.
And I'm pretty sure Baron Davis was in that car, and he was like coming out of the sunroof or something weird happened. Like the picture I'm seeing here, it looks like Baron Davis is standing in the car out of the sunroof. And Blake Griffin didn't jump over him. In fact, he basically jumped in front of the car, if we really want to get to the bottom of it. I'm not even sure he even jumped over the hood, but it looked really cool. But Baron Davis was in your car, and Blake Griffin jumped over it, so that's funny. NHL player poll. I found this really interesting. 68% of NHL players do not want regional divisions to stick around beyond this season. That's what we did this year.
The thing we just did, yeah.
So instead of having the normal Metro where the Capitals play the division you've gotten used to, they played teams for easy travel this year, essentially. Almost 7 out of every 10 players polled does not want to do that again next year. They want to go back to the old division.
Interesting. I actually would have thought it would have been the opposite of that.
Well, me too, but as I did a little bit more digging, here's why I think. They want the old divisions with the way that they scheduled this year. So almost the same number, 66%, two-thirds of players, say they want the series-style schedules from this season to continue. So that is the, you play the Penguins like 3 times in 6 days. You play the Islanders back-to-back, and then you have a day off, and you play them back-to-back or whatever it is again. Because it cuts down on travel. You have more time in road cities. Especially outside of COVID, I think you can go out to dinner with your boys and kick it a little bit more. So players seem to really like it. What they want, though, is to go back to the traditional schedule, where you actually go to every city once, where you play the Western Conference, where you're not playing the exact same teams all season and nobody else.
How would that work then? How could you do that series-style scheduling and still do it?
The Capitals, in the past, just as an example, play the Penguins 4 times.
Right.
Instead of playing the Penguins on Super Bowl Sunday and 3 weeks later and 7 weeks later.
Oh, you get your Penguins week and that's your week.
Maybe. I don't know if you do all 4, but yeah,
something
you would certainly
to that effect.
Do back-to-back, like home and home, which used to happen a couple times a year.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that would be the norm. You get the Flyers Saturday, Sunday, and then you play them Wednesday, Friday, whatever it is. So I kind of like that. It's a little bit of a mix of both things.
Would they keep, and I'm putting you on the spot here, as if you wrote the article and did all the research.
Probably not answer your question.
Would they keep the mega divisions as they are? So it's Central, East, and that's your sort of Eastern Conference.
No, but that's the point, right?
So is to do it that way.
I mean, I don't know if the players are going to get their way. The players do not want to keep the divisions. They want to go back to the old divisions.
That's what I was asking. Okay.
So 68% of NHL players do not want the regional divisions to stick around. But 66%, two-thirds of the league, said they'd like to do the series-style scheduling with the old divisions, basically, moving forward. So I think that's kind of cool. I'd like to see that.
I like the idea of limiting travel for the guys. I know it's easy to poke fun and say they're millionaires and they travel better than anyone else and you can whine about it. I just with training and how hard these guys go and the injuries in sports, just watching the NBA playoffs, watch guy after guy, Kawhi Leonard, Chris Paul's going to miss time, it looks like. So many players hurt all the time. I just kind of go, let's do whatever we can to take care of them when it comes to that sort of stuff. That's controllable. On-court injuries, on-ice injuries, that stuff's going to happen. Outside, let's be as judicious and smart as we can be. I don't think that's an outrageous stance.
All right, on the way out, it's time to now pitch an idea to each other for our Father's Day Sunday, since neither of us have plans. For the Rouillets, I'm going to do an early morning. You probably don't have bikes for the kids, yeah?
I got a bike. My oldest has a bike.
OK, Okay, I'm going to say a little bit of a bike ride with him.
Yep.
Some kind of little bike ride outdoor situation.
I would like that.
And then we're doing a family brunch. I'm going to say we do a little family brunch. I think we're doing dinner at Chef Jeff's. You guys love that bit.
We do love that bit.
You go do Chef Jeff's.
I do that a lot.
And I'm going to say the big activity for Father's Day is we go to a local field and we play a little catch or something. Say we just get the kids out of the house. We play a little something, something. That's my designed Father's Day for you.
I like that for you. I mean, for me, rather. I'm an idiot. We'll do that again. I like that for me. Here's what I'm thinking for my friend, Grant Paulson.
What do you got?
Again, we're getting up at not too early. Letting Grant sleep. Let daddy sleep a little bit.
This is already not going to happen.
Let daddy sleep a little bit. I'm talking like 8 a.m. type stuff.
That would be sleeping in.
Yeah, sleeping until 8. And parents understand that one. Then you guys are going to get up and everyone goes for a walk.
Oh.
We got stroller time.
We love the walks.
We're going to do a little walk bit. That's we're going to talk. Bit. It's going to be nice. Then I think we're going to a baseball game. I think that Sunday 1 p.m. game against the Metropolitans, bring, bring, is calling. And here's what your lady wife is going to say. You go, and you're going to get to watch baseball. We're going to hang out with the kids. Once the meltdowns start, I'm going to pop smoke, pull the ripcord, and I'm out. Kids are going home with me. You stay all nine, young man.
I'd be excited
about
that.
You stay all nine, Dad.
I went to that Nats-Pirates game Wednesday, the day game, and I kind of asked them, like, can I go to this? Do you care? And she's like, no, no, go. It's Father's Day. You should do that. So maybe I got my game.
Oh, you might have already gotten it.
So I don't think I get another
one. You don't get another
one? You know?
Scratch that. Maybe you're going to Glory Days and watching it outside.
That's the play, I think, is going to Glory Days and maybe watching it while True, you know, sits there and Reagan eats some mac and cheese or something like that. I do want to wish my dad a happy Father's Day. Sure, Mr. Rouye.
Happy birthday. Good Lord. Oh my God. I am struggling at the last 2 minutes. Good heavens.
Don't say happy birthday, Father's Day.
New year. Happy birthday, Father's Day. Here's what's been behind the scenes. I've been doing a lot of cameos as Charles Barkley, and I purposely messed stuff up. And I've actually said happy birthday to the fathers a bunch of times, kind of as a joke. So that's how I messed that up. But no one cares. They just heard me mess it up. Happy Father's Day to my dad as well, who won't text me back, by the way. He must be having some fun. He's somewhere doing something.
I bet he's celebrating early. But thank you, Pops, and I will see you this weekend coming down to KG tomorrow. We'll let Madam President swim in the pool. All right, it is time to figure out what we learned today. Never put Twinkies on your pizza. What did we learn today? Driven by your local Honda dealer, racing for a great deal. Honda of your dreams during the Honda Dream Garage Spring event. Take advantage of the savings to your local Honda dealer today.
I learned that Ryan's mom is a sweetheart. I learned that Ryan shouldn't have lied to her. And I learned that Ryan might have an increase in his expenditures when it comes to either taking her out to dinner or paying for the food that she prepares for him out of the goodness of her heart.
If you missed Mrs. Clary calling into the Grant and Danny radio show to get to the bottom of all Ryan's lying to her, make sure you go podcast the 425 segment. I learned today that, well, first of all, I will say that I think Ryan's going to be okay. Although I did tell him it would be hilarious if he got kicked out. I thought that would be the funniest thing.
What if he came in Monday and was like, do you guys know anyone that needs a roommate?
Yeah. I mean, I told him if he does get kicked out, he can stay in my extra room, my guest room. But I just think that'd be funny. I learned that I'm in on swimming again. Happens every 4 years. I watched the swimming trials the other night.
Go Katie Ledecky.
I'm back in on swimming, so the Olympics must be here. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you on Monday. Darris, Ryan, good job. Charlie and Dave are next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.